Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss. If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Den här veckan så fortsätter vi vårt roliga sponsrade samarbete med Skinome, färsk hudvård. Produkter helt utan konserveringsmedel och andra onödiga tillsatser. Det här är ett svenskt hudvårdsföretag grundat av hudforskaren Dr. Johanna Gillbro. Och idag ska vi fortsätta prata om Skinomes innovativa solskyddsprodukter, eller hur Maria?
Ja, vi gillar ju båda att njuta av solen, liksom de flesta svenskarna. Solen är ju inte bara en källa till glädje och värme och ljus. Den är ju också vår främsta naturliga källa till D-vitamin, och det mår vi ju bra av. Och som alla vet kan för mycket solexponering medföra risker på grund av solens ultravioletta strålar, det vi kallar UV-strålning. Vi vet hur viktigt det är att skydda huden på bästa sätt. Och både Carina och jag har börjat använda Skinomes solskydd Sanne Malschen.
Ja, vår sponsor Skinome erbjuder två solskydd med olika solskyddsfaktor. Dels Sanne Malschen SPF 50+, och så den senaste nyheten Sanne Malschen SPF 30. Och båda de här ansiktsprodukterna går att använda som enda dagkräm om man vill, då de också innehåller både vårdande och återfuktande ingredienser samt prebiotika som stärker ditt mikrobiom.
Tänk på att applicera rikligt med solkräm just i ansiktet. Förutom att stärka skyddet mot cancer så kan du också minska risken för UV-inducerade ålderstecken. Och då talar vi om rynkor, pigmentfläckar och brustna blodkärl. Skinomes senaste nyhet, Sanne Malschen solskyddsfaktor 30, innehåller också en innovativ ingrediens från den svenska västkusten. Vi talar om algika som tillverkas just av alger. Studier visar att algika förstärker den solskyddande effekten av UV-filter och skyddar huden mot miljörelaterade luftföroreningar.
Ja, det här är innovativt. Skinomes solkrämer passar både barn och vuxna, även de med känslig hud. Om du blir osäker på om du ska ha solskyddsfaktor 50 eller 30, så kan du gå in på Skinomes hemsida och göra deras solskyddstest. Just nu så kan du prova Skinomes solskydd och övriga hudvårdsprodukter extra förmånligt. Med koden Hälsorevolutionen 20 så får du 20% rabatt under april månad. Rabatten gäller inte på redan nedsatta varor. Gå in på skinome.com och beställ den nya generationen solskydd.
Michael Mosley på besök. Mest känd kanske för 5-2-metoden. Och du träffade honom, Maria.
Ja.
You don't have to go out for a 10-mile run. You can just do a few press-up squats. You know, you can run up and down the stairs. You can...
3 times 10 minutes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just what they call exercise snacking. We got a group together and we did 3 different activities. One of them was singing together as a choir. Another was getting on an exercise bike and cycling like crazy for about half an hour. And the third was reading a dishwasher manual.
Basically, oh my god, you!
Välkommen kära lyssnare, det här är Hälsorevolutionen, podden för dig som längtar efter att leva mer äkta, starkt och månar om personlig utveckling och hälsa. Jag är Carina Lundstedt, poddens producent och förläggare, och vi har förmånen att få möta de ledande hälsoprofilerna här i podden. Nyligen var Michael Mosley på besök här i Sverige, den brittiska vetenskapsjournalisten och läkaren som ju har blivit mest känd kanske för 5-2-metoden. Och du träffade honom, Maria.
Ja, hej, Maria Borelius här, vetenskapsjournalist och biolog. Ja, det blev ett jättekul samtal. Dels för att Michael är både smart och noggrann med den forskning han letar fram. För att han brinner för folkhälsa, tar lite annorlunda grepp. Och för att han är väldigt fnissig och kul. Vi bubblade mycket och så var det sent på fredagskvällen och vi var lite så här fnissiga i slutet av veckan, du vet, som man kan bli.
Kul, mysigt.
Så vi träffades på ett hotell i Stockholm och då lät det så här. Michael Mosley, welcome to Health Revolutionen.
Brilliant to be here.
You're sitting very close to me.
I am, yes.
We have to be because of the mic, and I have to make apologies. I put on too much perfume.
No.
I hope you're not allergic to perfume. That's short.
I'll find out, won't I?
You'll find out.
I'll come out in spots, I'll choke, I'll fall to the ground, frothing at the mouth.
Let's hope not. You became a household name in Sweden through your 5-2 diet. Why do you think this became such a popular route into intermittent fasting and strengthening your health parameters?
I think it's because it was really simple. The title alone kind of told you what is involved, that you were expected to eat healthily, normally for 5 days a week, and then cut down for 2 days a week. So most people understood that. And it also sort of plays into, you know, a long history of the intermittent fasting, or at least fasting in its different forms. All the great religions have advocated fasting. And so I think it tapped into something which was already there.
Mm. You're here to launch your new book. Congratulations.
Thank you.
In Swedish, Mosley's 30 bästa hälsotips. Can you say that?
Mosley 30 bästa tips. Is that close?
You have a good ear for languages. You are a passionate advocate for techniques to turn your everyday health around, but you started your life in India.
I did. My father was a banker working in India, and I was born there and I almost died there because there was a big outbreak of Asian flu, which swept the world, but it hit India particularly badly. And my mother said I almost died. So my career could have begun and ended in India a long time ago.
We're lucky that you then, how come you survived? You got good medical care?
I got good medical care, and I guess I was reasonably robust and young, and a lot of luck involved as well.
Yeah. You were trained as a psychiatrist?
Well, what happened originally, in fact, is I studied politics, philosophy and economics at Oxford University.
PPE.
Indeed. And then I became a banker. And then I went into television with the intention of doing psychiatry. But when it came to it, I became disillusioned with what psychiatry had to offer. Because I went in full of sort of, you know, naive hopes and expectations about what I would be able to offer the patients. And in the end, it really came down to medication and not a great deal else. And also, as a psychiatrist, you tend to see the people who are, you know, they've already been through an awful lot of other procedures. Mm. So it's very difficult to make a difference. So I thought to myself at that time, well, I'll go away and do something else for a little bit and I will become older and wiser and I will be better for my patients and I will come back. But that was a long time ago because I started making documentaries, and I found I loved making documentaries, and also found that it's a good way to reach an awful lot of people. So I am now 66, and I think the chance of my going back into medicine is quite low at this point in time.
It's becoming smaller and smaller.
Yes, absolutely.
You've been a strong advocate for health and popular medicine for a long time, working in popular science as you do. What have been the biggest changes, as you see it, when it comes to how the medical profession approaches self-care, but also in terms of empowerment of patients?
Absolutely. A really good question. And I think the first thing was that the reason I got particularly interested in nutrition and everything else was because in 2012, I discovered I had type 2 diabetes. And my father had died from that condition. He died of complications. And he had developed type 2 diabetes at pretty much the same age I was then, which was 55. And he died at the age of 74. And at his funeral, his friends all said how much like him I looked. And I thought that's very sweet, but also rather chilling because he
got scared.
He just died. So I, at that point, I talked to my doctor who said, we can start you on medication. I thought, no, there must be a better way. Mm. And so that's when I made a documentary called Eat Fast, Live Longer. And that led me into intermittent fasting and the 5-2 diet. I read a book and that kind of changed everything. Mm. But in the 10 or 11 years since then, I think the big changes have been that in the training of doctors, because when I was a junior doctor, when my wife was, when our friends were, we got almost no training at all in nutrition. Mm. And now I think junior doctors, medical students, they're much more aware of the impact on of food, on your health, on your mental health as well. And so I think that's a really positive thing. Mm. And I also think that the general public now expect it in a way they probably didn't, you know, back in the day, because they kind of, you know, the doctor tells you to take this medication, you take the medication. Whereas now I think people are looking for alternatives. They are aware that certainly in areas like mental health, taking antidepressants isn't necessarily the only way you're going to improve your anxiety and depression.
Mm. Still, there is an elder generation of scientists and doctors who will say, doesn't matter what you eat, doesn't matter if you move. What would you like to say to those?
Well, I guess I'm retired now because it clearly does. And the reality is that, you know, it takes a while. It's almost a generational change that people find it very hard to change their minds. And also all the training that, you know, previous generations has had has been largely focused on medication. Mm. And so it takes quite a big step to go from there to say, well, maybe I should be looking at these other things. Mm. I mean, a lot of doctors have done that. Some have not. And I do think that we now have the sort of tools which previous generations didn't have for looking at what is going on inside the body, inside the blood. There's all sorts of wonderful words like metabolomics and things like that, where you can actually tell what is happening inside the blood, and that you can compare to what's happening inside, you know, the symptoms the patient is expressing. So I think there's much better ways of looking at the impact.
And new research coming about the microbiome and how that affects the brain, etc. I mean, a lot of new knowledge is coming.
A huge amount. Again, it's largely down to technology because we couldn't measure the microbiome. We couldn't actually grow most of the bugs that are in your gut. Now, you know, it's you can get your microbiome, you know, tested for a relatively modest amount of money. They use DNA fragments to kind of work out what's going on inside there. So it's quite cheap to be able to do this sort of research in a way it would have been humongously expensive a while ago. Mm. And I think that's part of what has led to this huge explosion. Mm.
Your new book is exactly about small everyday steps that you can do in your everyday life, which can have enormous impact on you. You select 30 different things. How did you select them out of many different strategies?
Okay. So what actually happened is that when COVID began, it was very difficult to go out and do films and things like that. So I started doing podcasts. And I did a podcast for the BBC, which was called Just One Thing. And the idea is that each week I would try a thing like having a cold shower, I'd talk to an expert about it, and I'd also get a volunteer. And since then, we've probably done about 50 or 60 Just One Things. But when it came to writing a book, what I did is I selected 30 of the ones which pretty much I do, but which I also thought were interesting and varied, some around exercise, some around nutrition, some of them around standing on one leg. So and I stripped them across a day. So the
original done in a very nice way, yeah.
Thank you.
Very practical, very practical.
100%, that's what it's supposed to be. Practical, easy.
Based in science.
Based in science and really, really deliberate and specific. So, you know, this tells you, you get out of bed, you do your press-ups and squats. This is how you do them. Mm. And this is why you want to do them, even if you don't want to do them, because who does want to do them?
So, I mean, it could be strange for some people to think that small everyday changes that you do could affect our health when we are talking about public health challenges that are on such a vast scale. How do you juggle these two things at the same time?
Well, I guess what I'd say is that when it comes to big public health measures, you need to do big public health things. For example, if it's, you know, COVID, you're not going to solve that by asking people to have cold showers. And when it comes to diabetes and obesity, again, you know, the sort of changes I'm suggesting here are unlikely to make a huge impact on that. But I do think small things accumulate. And one of the things I found really interesting is I've got a series going out on SVT at the moment, which is called Live Longer with Michael Mosley. And one of the really interesting things I discovered there was I was in California and I met an expert at the University of Southern California who has developed a test for measuring your biological age. So this is a really, really accurate measure of how old you are as opposed to what it says on your passport. And they also call it the death clock because it is a better predictor of when you will die than your age. He did the test, I did the test, and it turns out I am 4 years younger than my biological age and he is 4 years older, which he was a bit depressed by. But what is also interesting is that they did a study where they took four or five things, which are in the book, and they got a group of middle-aged men to do them for 8 weeks. And at the end of that period, they had reversed their biological age by 2 years. And this is a small randomized controlled trial. And I don't
and
promise you
a short period of
a time. Short period, but nonetheless really interesting. So I can't promise you if you buy the book, you will become younger. But if you do some of the things in the book, you may well improve your health. And who knows, it might make you younger. But this is super interesting, I think. The ability to measure your biological age is really, really extraordinary. And this is called an epigenetic test. It's called the Clock Foundation, and it's a non-profit thing. You can actually send off, you know, it costs, it's not very expensive, but they'll send you a sample. You take your blood, send it back to them. Is that something you'd be interested in? Would you like to know your biological age?
Yeah, I would love to.
Okay.
Is it the degree of methylation or?
Absolutely, 100%. You're on the ball. So what it's doing is it's measuring the extent to which your DNA is methylated. So they can give you a score for your whole body, but if you really want, they can also score your organs. So they can, you know, whether.
So if the uterus is older than the brain or the other way around.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And it turns out in women, for some reason, the breast is the oldest part.
That's interesting.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
But anyway, what's really interesting about the epigenetic test is firstly, it is incredibly reliable. It's certainly the best we got at the moment. But secondly, once you have it, you can start testing things and seeing whether the sort of things I'm writing about can actually affect and alter your biological age. Because most of the things I write about are things which will reduce your blood pressure or they will make you stronger or they will give you better balance. But the idea that they might fundamentally alter the aging process itself, I think is kind of mind-boggling, and I hope it's also motivating. So
very, very, and at the foundation of everything, you have wonderful routines in here and you give a lot of encouragement for a lot of things I love to do myself.
Excellent.
The morning light, the meditation, the cold showers, the oily fish. And we talk a lot about that in the pod, but I would like to bring up a few things. So exercise. You talk about exercising with less intensity, but more often. What do you mean
Absolutely.
By that?
Absolutely. It's not so much the intensity, but it's essentially saying to people you don't have to go for a run every day because if they think that, they probably won't do it. But a lot of people, you know, they don't enjoy running or they don't enjoy, you know, exercising.
Are you a runner?
I'm a reluctant runner. I had myself measured a while ago. There's a test where they measure a thing which is called your endocannabinoids. These are cannabis-like substances, okay? So I joined three people who like running, and we went for a two-mile run in the park. And at the end of that period, we had our bloods taken again. And the others, their endocannabinoid levels had soared. Yeah, they were feeling terrific.
Euphoric.
And I was completely flatlining. At no point at all did I get any pleasure from going for the run.
So what do you get your endocannabinoids from?
Singing.
Singing.
I did another study where I did singing, but there is an evolutionary argument which essentially goes that we evolved as a tribe, you know, and you need different people. You need some people who love running. because they've got to go out and chase the wildebeest. But you actually want most people not to like running because they've got to stay at home and save the calories. You don't want to be going off burning calories unless you have to. So that is the challenge, I think, for public health. Most people don't like running and will never like running. It's not in them. So
and someone
you have to find
in the tribe has to be a singer.
Exactly. Someone has to be a singer.
Singer,
exactly.
And that's you.
Indeed. I suspect quite a lot of people in the tribe could be singers.
Could be singers.
Absolutely. So just going back to your original question, one of the things I would say is that you can build in short moments into your day. Mm. You don't have to go out for a 10-mile run. You can just do a few press-up squats. You know, you can run up and down the stairs. You can
3 times 10 minutes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just what they call exercise snacking. Seems to be a very good way of doing it.
It's a good concept, yeah. You also talk about the value of eccentric exercise, because I am a weightlifter. So, yeah. So, of course, we are all taught to do the concentric work, which is if you do a biceps curl when you lift up the weight.
Absolutely.
But the eccentric is when the weight goes down or you walk. You have a very interesting case about walking down a staircase.
Yeah. This was a study done in Australia where they took a group of overweight people and they asked them for 6 weeks, 3 times a week. They either had to go up 10 flights of stairs and then take the lift down, or they had to take the lift up and then they had to walk down the 10 flights. And what they found, to their surprise, was it was the group who were walking down the stairs who burnt more calories, who saw bigger benefits for their bones, but also for their strength. And that is because when you do eccentric exercise, and that's kind of when you lower the weight or when you walk down the stairs, your body has to work really hard to protect you, because otherwise you're going to tear muscle. So it actually expends more energy protecting you from damaging yourself when you run down a hill than it expends running up the hill. Wow. So, for example, you go up a mountain and then you go down again. It always is hard work. Yeah. Now, you think that's because I've been up the mountain and therefore I got really tired. But actually, it's not. It's actually harder work going down than it is going up. Mm. And the same is true for weights. They did a study where they showed that when you're doing the weightlifting, most of the benefit comes from the lowering, not from the raising. Mm. And indeed, they did a study in which they showed you got just as much benefit if you simply lowered the weight and then a machine lifted it and then you lowered it again as you did if you curled it up.
Yeah.
So I love that stuff because it is so mad and yet it seems to be true.
Yeah. So a push-up, the ideal push-up, you should be like really slow in going down.
Indeed. And if you do that, you'll find it's really hard.
Yeah.
So when I'm trying to do my push-ups and I'm aiming for 30 or 40 in the morning, if I do it really slowly, I probably don't get there. If I go really fast, then I can hit it because I go, But yeah, it's much harder work. But the scientists would argue that it's actually much more beneficial as well.
Mm. So that's an unexpected. Then we have the singing and dancing, which I find very happy and lovely. And as I am a biologist, I love the whole evolutionary thinking about the tribe coming together. And of course, this would give us benefits of joining in a very communal level, doing things together. How do you see that?
Absolutely. I mean, I wholly agree with you. And again, from a biochemistry point of view, I did a short study with Nottingham University in the UK, and we got a group together and we did 3 different activities. One of them was singing together as a choir. Another was getting on an exercise bike and cycling like crazy for about half an hour. And the third was reading a dishwasher manual. Basically, And that was the control group, obviously. That was the boring bit. And you will not be surprised to hear that reading the dishwasher manual did not elevate our endocannabinoid levels. Cycling did, but the singing did to a vastly greater extent. It filled us with joy.
Yeah. And it's been linked to lower risk of suicide too, I think, singing.
Absolutely.
I've seen research on that.
And also some decent evidence around pain and other things as well. Mm. And I guess dancing combines them because you're getting the benefit of the music, but you've also got the movement. Mm. If you're with a partner, if you're a terrible dancer like me, it's also really cognitively demanding. It really, you know, my brain feels like it's really had a work work out when I go dancing.
What type of dancing do you do?
Latin, mainly.
Latin? Oh, my God, that's very advanced.
I didn't say I was very good.
I thought you were stuffing around in some kind of disco dance, but you are a proper tango.
Proper tango, but as I said, my wife was astonished that I could do it. Yeah. But I do find it very mentally challenging to do it, but I am not an actual dancer. But it's part of, again, I was involved in another study. This one was in the US, where they took a group of people in their 50s and 60s and asked them to do three new things. And the things were, for example, dancing, taking up painting. And I think the third thing was learning a new language. And they had to do all three simultaneously. And they followed them for 6 months, and they did cognitive tests before and afterwards. And at the end of that period, they were scoring in memory and things like that, similar to somebody maybe 20 or 30 years younger. Mm, it had a massive effect on the, and it was a combination of three really challenging things.
Yeah. Is but it they the weren't corpus callosum connecting the left and right hemisphere?
Could well be. I don't think they really know. Yeah. I mean, they just know that the researcher said it's kind of like children. The way that children learn is they don't just, you know, learn one thing. Mm. They learn lots of things all at once. And we assume that we've lost that ability. But she says, no, we haven't. So one of the just one things is very much about finding something that you find mentally challenging and doing it.
Yeah,
and
wonderful.
Ideally, something which is active and something which is social.
Mm. So what is your thing learning? Is it the dancing?
Well, the dancing is one of the things. And I'm also trying to improve my French, which I've been sort of learning on and off about 40 years. Maybe I should learn some Swedish, because that looks very challenging.
Proper Viking language.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have another thing which I absolutely love, which is the power of green plants.
Absolutely. I think that is, there's a sort of theme which runs through the book and through the podcast, which is embracing nature.
Yeah.
So you
and
go out in the morning.
That so important.
I think, again, it's back to that sort of primeval thing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That we emerged from green spaces, well, at least, you know, the plains of Africa, where I suspect it wasn't that green for a long time. But there is some lovely studies looking at the benefits of, you know, having at least five or six plants. It started with studies conducted by NASA, where they put these plants into a closed environment to get rid of some of the sort of noxious chemicals that leach out of our furniture and things like that. In this case, it was obviously the space station. But since then, there have been quite a lot of studies, Australia, Norway, looking at the benefits of introducing more green plants into an environment. And particularly when you take them away, people notice and they get really grumpy. Mm. So like you, I like looking at plants.
You even suggest plants. And it's interesting because I have a friend who is from South America and she was always recommending to me the aloe vera.
Oh, yeah.
Which you suggest.
Yep.
You have rosemary,
yep.
Rosmarin in Swedish. You have the peace lily,
yep.
Fredskalla. What characterizes those plants that you have suggested in the book?
I think they're fast growing. Mm. They do well in relatively low light, so indoors. And there is some sort of science around their benefits in terms of removing volatile organic compounds from the air. Mm. So I think there's reasons. Mainly they're really tough. They're quite hard to kill.
Yeah, the aloe vera you can stand forever. You're like, hello, I haven't watered you for a month and you're still there, which is a very good plant
in my
book. You even talk, and I actually told one of my sons about this, about computer games.
Yeah.
And he was like, finally, I'm getting some support that it can actually be beneficial for us. In what sense?
Yeah, I was really surprised and very disappointed by this because I've been telling my kids for a very long time, and they're now in their sort of 20s and 30s, that they shouldn't be playing computer games, but they should be reading books or doing something like that. So I was speaking to a professor from Geneva, and she started with that view as well. But when she looked into it, she concluded that actually playing computer games can be sociable if you're doing it with other people. It demands, particularly if you're shooting zombies or something like that, you know, you have to kind of pay attention. You have to shift your focus from this thing to that thing. You have to, if you're working in a team, all these things are very good for, you know, cognitive ability. Now, I tried doing it, but I was terrible because obviously I'm starting about 40 years too late. So my kids tried to let me play with them, but I was so terrible, they booted me out of the game. So, that's one of the just one things.
Maybe you have to play with people your age.
I think that might be a whole new thing. We could set up, we could start up, you know, clubs for people, yeah, whose kids are in their 30s now and won't play games with them. Yeah, and a whole new international competition.
So you have a lot of new things, but then you have sort of the old household cures, like an apple a day keeps the doctor away, which turns out to be actually a very good thing.
It is, and it's mainly the peel, as you know. You know, the most of the nutrients are in the peel. The fibre is there, the flavonoids are there. And I was speaking to a researcher from Australia, and she was explaining why the peel gets down into your gut, mainly undigested. The fibre gets down there, and again, that kind of boosts the good microbiome, the good microbes down there, and they produce chemicals which seem to be good for your mental health and your physical health. And I just wonder, why did I spend my youth peeling potatoes and apples and things like that when actually I was just chucking away all the good stuff? And the hours I spent peeling potatoes. And these days I just brush a bit of dirt off them and rub them down a bit and I just eat them. And with apples, I eat the whole thing and sometimes even the stalk. So that's probably going a bit far.
That you have a strong stomach. So one of the things I like about this very humane book is that you also give some practical ideas on how to implement new strategies in your life, because we can have a lot of knowledge, but then to make it happen in our lives. So what would you say? I mean, there is a lot of research now around habit formation. We talk about habit stacking, etc. What would you say are some top strategies? Because you present this as a smorgasbord, Swedish word.
Yeah, indeed. Even I know that one. Even I get smorgasbord, there I'm going. Yeah.
Smorgasbord in Swedish.
Okay, so, got the pronunciation. Smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord. Yeah. So you have, it's a smorgasbord of ideas. And if you find something appealing, what are some good strategies in terms of implementing new things in your life? Because we are habits of creatures, especially the morning is very, you know, routine for most people. So what is a good way?
I think one of the things is if you have a partner, discuss with them whether they want to do it as well, because we're much more likely to stick with something if it's something we're sharing with another person.
A buddy?
A buddy of some form.
Is your wife your buddy?
My wife is very much my buddy. And one of the things we do when we get out of bed is we always do the press-ups and the squats and the plank.
Straight away?
Pretty much.
You roll out of bed.
We roll out of bed.
Onto the floor.
Onto the floor.
Both of you.
Both of us, indeed, and start doing them. So my wife could only do a few press-ups originally. Now she can do 25, 30, which, you know, is pretty good going. And obviously I tried to out-compete her. And if I'm not feeling like it, she tells me I should do it. And when I'm not feeling like it, I tell her to do it. But for us, the critical thing is it's first thing in the morning, because if we don't do it, then we're never going to do it.
Okay.
We're basically, you know, so for us, the trigger is getting out of bed. So you get out of bed, that's what you do.
That's habit stacking.
That's habit stacking.
Yeah, stack one habit onto another that already is there.
Completely. Yeah. And for example, another example of that would be standing on one leg while brushing my teeth. Now, I can tell you all about the benefits of improving your balance. We know that falling over is the second most common cause of accidental death after road traffic accidents. And I can tell you, you should go and do some yoga or some Tai Chi, but you almost certainly won't. But if I say to you, why not practice standing on one leg while you're brushing your teeth? We do that anyway. We do that twice a day. You should ideally use an electric toothbrush anyway. So that's what I do. I basically stand on one leg. I haven't yet got to 3.5 minutes.
And I have my stepsister is a doctor, and she took this one step further.
Okay.
Left leg in the morning, right leg in the evening.
Okay, very good.
It's smart, isn't it?
It's smart, exactly.
Yeah, smart.
And another thing you can do while you're there, if you really want to, is you can do hopping on one leg because...
while you are brushing.
While you're brushing.
Now you're going into dancing. Now, this is, I would call, a new dance.
No, the reason why you might want to hop is a study which was done relatively recently in the UK, which showed that if you can, you do 10 hops 5 sessions, about 50 hops a day. And they did a study where they got them to hop on one leg and not the other leg. And this led to a significant improvement in the bone density as well as the strength of the leg being hopped on. So if you are at risk of osteoporosis or something like that, it wasn't just the leg, but it was also the hips that improved. So if you are at risk of osteoporosis, then hopping is one way to go.
Well, so excellent.
There you go. You could transition from standing one leg to hopping your leg. I'm not sure the brushing your teeth at the same time would be perfect, but
But seems
it could be something you could attach to the thing.
To another thing,
Absolutely.
Waiting for your tea kettle to boil or something, you're hopping a little
You're hopping a little bit, or you're doing a few squats or something like that. So that's one of the things. The other thing is to keep it really simple, because if it's complicated or it is very ambitious, you're probably not going to do it. So if you go, ooh, I'm going to run a marathon in March, then it's unlikely you will actually get round to it. Whereas if you think, I will try and see if I can get up to 10 press-ups by March, you're more likely to succeed. And I think the reason that in the book it kind of works is because I offer you a choice of things. Some things are harder than other things. I hope what happens is you give it a go. You incorporate it into your life. It becomes an easy thing to do. You don't have to think about it because it becomes attached. And then you look around and you go, well, okay, perhaps he knows what he's talking about. Maybe I'll look for one of those other things. And then I'll add that in. And that way you start to build and build. I mean, some of the things also are, they sort of complement each other.
What's the lowest hanging fruit in the book?
The lowest hanging fruit is probably drinking more water. So most
or
of us
eating an apple a day.
Eating an apple a day. But this was a very simple piece. We all know we should drink more water, but how much, when, how, is confusing. So the simplest advice is you drink a large glass of water with every meal. Because you're having a meal, why not drink a large glass of water? Now, there is some evidence that this will, you know, can help with weight gain, but primarily it's about keeping you hydrated. And the expert I spoke to said, look, people assume that thirst is the cue, but in fact, thirst is not a terribly reliable cue. You can become quite dehydrated. So his thing was drink 3 large cups of water a day and with tea and coffee. And you should aim to have 7 wees a day. You should go to loo 7 times.
7 times, okay.
So like 5 a day for fruit and vegetables, 7 wees a day.
Okay.
And one advantage of that as well is it means you'll get up more. So you're sitting at your computer and you're watching something and you're lost in it and you suddenly, oh, I must go to the loo. So that gives you the incentive to do it. So the water has got several, it's doing several things at once, and I like that.
Perfect.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Denna vecka har vi ett betalt samarbete med Bosch som precis har kommit ut med sin nya köksmaskin serie 6. Och jag har ju alltid älskat att baka. Och har tänkt att jag vill baka lite oftare eftersom det gör mig så glad. Och nu har jag hittat ett sätt som gör det både enklare och smidigare.
Vad kul! Och vad ska du baka för något?
Ja, men igår så testade jag att baka bananbröd som jag gillar väldigt mycket eftersom det även är ganska hälsosamt. Jag hade i valnötter och inte så mycket socker som det står i receptet. Och först tänkte jag att det skulle vara krångligt att baka med en bakmaskin, för det har jag aldrig gjort innan. Och jag skulle sätta ihop olika delar, trodde jag. Men så var det inte, utan jag känner redan att serie 6 är en pålitlig vän i köket, för det var faktiskt väldigt enkelt.
Ja, vi är ju lite lika där, Karina. Tycker ibland att det är jobbigt med för mycket bruksanvisningar av teknisk karaktär, men den här gången var det kul.
Ja, Bosch serie 6 är en väldigt snygg och cool köksmaskin, bara en sån sak. Den levereras ihopsatt och det är inte svårt att förstå hur man ska komma igång. Jag håller fortfarande på att utforska alla funktioner och automatiska program. Bland annat så har den smarta sensorer som gör bakningen enklare genom att den känner av när det du bakar har perfekt konsistens. Och därtill så har den en unik 3D-mixning som efterliknar handknådning och fångar upp alla ingredienser så att inget lämnas kvar i botten av skålen, vilket ju kan vara irriterande annars. Ja, jag får återkomma lite närmare till just den funktionen när jag bakar bröd nästa gång. Eller om jag ska baka kanelbullar, det var ju länge sedan.
Jag vet ju, det gillar ju du, det är ju väldigt gott. Och det här med 3D-mixningen låter ju väldigt spännande. Hur ofta funderar man inte på om degen verkligen blir genomarbetad när det står knåda väl i receptet, eller hur?
Ja, precis. Och för mig är det viktigt att det är enkelt att lyckas med bakningen för att jag ska liksom dra igång ett bakprojekt. Och jag tycker att serie 6 gör bakningen ännu mer lustfylld genom att den är så enkel att hantera. Det gäller bara att välja program och sen kan man luta sig tillbaka medan maskinen gör jobbet. Eller varför inte fixa köket medan degen knådas?
Låter perfekt. Bosch nya serie 6 finns att köpa redan nu hos Power. Och där kan man även få mer info om köksmaskinen. Och vi återkommer snart med mer inspiration och berättar hur det går med Karinas vårbakning.
So out of all the tips in the book, which are your 3 favorites?
I think firstly...
You roll out of bed... I guess you're in your pajamas to make
it. I am
easy.
In my pajamas, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say it's a favorite, but I think it's a very good thing to do. And that is because when you do the press-ups and the squats, not only are you building the muscles in your thighs and also in your upper body, but you're also giving your brain a good boost of oxygen. And there's studies which have found that when you do that vertical motion, that leads to the production of a substance called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor in the brain, which is very good for it. Plus, the press-up is very good for the spine. So I had myself, I had an X-ray, a DEXA scan, and I had the spine of a 30-year-old. I'm 66. Whoa, but I have a spine of a 30-year-old. Yeah. The rest of me is not.
Solid, feels solid. Good luck.
So that's one thing.
Yeah, that's one thing.
Okay. Resistance exercises, breathing, slow, deep breathing, 4-2-4, box breathing. So you breathe in through your nose. Let's do it now. Hold it, and then... And you just do that for a few minutes, and it slows the heart. It really relaxing. And I found it...
The parasympathetic nerve system. 100%. We call it the panda in the pod.
Panda time.
Yeah.
And for me, it's brilliant 3 a.m. when I'm awake and I'm thinking about the world. And then I do some breathing exercises.
We all have the 3-4 o'clock in the morning.
Completely. Yeah. And I'm out like a light almost all the time when I do that. Whereas before that, I would get up, I'd wander around, I'd kind of, you know, feel... agitated. So the breathing, panda, is the second one. And the third one is probably, it's probably the dancing. I enjoy it. You know, I'm not good at it, but I enjoy it.
Yeah. And what does it look like? I mean, it's 7 o'clock, you've had a glass of wine, on goes the tango on the radio. You're out there with your wife, or are you somewhere ballroom dancing in Liverpool, in a tuxedo, or what does it look like?
It's more like an evening class. You know,
an evening class.
That's kind of less glamorous, I have to say. It's more like a sort of, you know, school sports hall. But that's where we started, but we do a little bit at home as well. Okay. And I've... yet to put on the sequins and dance like crazy. But no, I surprise myself. I really enjoy it.
Thank you very much for visiting your podcast.
Pleasure. Enjoying the perfume.
Mm.
Det var Michael Mosley som pratade om värdet med att äta äpplen och äpplen med skal. Så jag tänkte att veckans växt får bli äpplet. Och jag tänkte veckans recept blir en bra äppelpaj. Vi får en härlig äppelmix här med en topping av valnötter, russin, kokos och dadlar. Okej, du behöver själva fyllningen. 4 äpplen, 2 deciliter russin, 3 matskedar citronjuice och 3 medjoldadlar. Det är de här lite större dadlarna. Ta ut kärnorna då på dadlarna. 1 tesked kanel, 2 teskedar kokosfett och några matskedar vatten. Och så ska vi göra en topping och då har du 5 deciliter valnötter, 2,5 deciliter russin, 2 deciliter riven kokos, 4 medjoldadlar, 1,5 tesked salt och 1 tesked kanel och 2 matskedar ekologiskt smör. Okej, börja med att ställa fram smör och kokosfett så att det mjuknar. Nu ska vi göra äppelfyllningen. Ta dina 4 äpplen. 2 av dem skär du i tunna skivor. Ha alltså kvar nu skalet så att vi får de här hälsoeffekterna som Michael och jag pratar om. Och 2 av äpplena skär du i små, små kuber. Och så lägger du skivorna snyggt i en pajform, så där i runt om. Häll på 2 matskedar citronjuice så att äpplena inte blir bruna och ställ åt sidan. Nu kör vi resten av äppelfyllningen i en mixer. Vi tar äppelkuber, russin, dadlar, kanel och vatten. Och så strör du den här äppelmixfyllningen ovanpå äppelskivorna. Så fyllningen består nu dels av äppelskivorna och dels av den här mixerblandningen som är lite lösare. Mm. Dubbeläpplen, vad säger du om det?
Underbart.
Älskar
äpplen.
Ja. Och sen ska vi göra toppingen. Hacka valnötterna fint, skär medjoldadlar i mindre bitar, blanda ihop med russin, kanel och kokosflingar och nyp ihop toppingen med smöret. Och så klickar man toppingen på äppelfyllning och in i ugnen 200 grader ungefär 20 minuter. Mm. Gott i gott.
Gud vad gott. Får man ta lite vaniljsås till?
Ja,
lite
absolut.
Vaniljglass?
Mm. Ja, absolut kan man göra det. Men man behöver inte alltid ha smör eller framförallt mjöl och socker.
Nej.
Man kan göra väldigt mycket gott.
Verkligen.
Med nötter och dadlar och så vidare.
Mm.
Ja, det är spännande med Michael Mosley tycker jag, med hans passion för folkhälsa.
Ja.
Han testar grejer. Och sen är det fantastiskt att ha BBC som en plattform.
Mm.
Och de satsar på vetenskap ordentligt.
Ja.
Han berättade för mig, han var i Australien och gjorde The Australian Health Revolution när de var ute hos ursprungsbefolkningen, de här aborigines som har mycket diabetes, och testade fasta på dem.
Mm.
Alltså jag tror att det är få tv-bolag i världen som har råd att skicka någon för att hantera aborigines hälseproblem, men BBC kan göra det.
Ja.
Och de kan också sen sända den där tv-serien.
Ja.
Så att han gör en väldig nytta för...
Verkligen.
Och 5-2, du har väl testat?
Ja, det testade jag och Anders. Och jag har ju aldrig liksom hållit på med massa olika dieter så. Men det var just att det kändes så enkelt och konkret. 2 dagar i veckan så hade jag med mig lite små morotstavar och någon liten... Kanske en bit tonfisk eller någonting som jag åt på lunchen.
För att fästa till det. Med,
ja. Någon lite fin krisp hade jag också. Mm. För det var ju väldigt få kalorier i.
Mm.
Men jag mådde bra av det. Så att det var min första, där jag gläntade på dörren till att lägga in fasta på olika sätt.
Mm.
Så det, nu kör jag ju precis, eller ja, som du fast inte lika mycket, med periodisk fasta lite var och varannan dag.
Så. Mm. Och det har han verkligen hjälpt till att popularisera den forskningen.
Ja. Mm.
Vilket är väldigt fint. Du har lyssnat till Hälsorevolutionen. Vi kommer ut varje vecka. Minst en gång i veckan är det
nu. Vi kör ju lite bonusar också, försöker vi både puffa för gamla repriser så att vi, för er
för
nya,
alla
lyssnare.
Nya lyssnare. Precis.
Ja, och ni är så många, det är så kul att ha er här. Och vi har ju, vi närmar ju oss snart 200 avsnitt.
Ja.
Så att det är ju så mycket vi har täckt in under de här dryga 3 åren vi har poddat.
Ja.
Så att om du har tid att gå tillbaka så hoppas vi att du hittar något gammalt avsnitt som du gillar också.
Precis.
Sen försöker vi bjuda på lite uppsnack som vi kallar det. Inte varje vecka, men när vi har ett ämne som vi vill prata på lite extra om, Maria och jag, så gör vi det. Ja, ni märker ju. om ni väljer att prenumerera, då får ni ju små notiser om när det kommer ett nytt avsnitt.
Mm. Hör gärna av dig om du har frågor. Jag blev lite pepp här när jag sitter och funderar på och pratade med Michael att vi kanske skulle komma tillbaka till det här med fasta. Händer mycket på det området.
Mm.
Och det är någonting som allt fler har börjat testa. Jag ser det också när du föreläser.
Mm.
Många är nyfikna på den här tekniken och vill veta, jaha, om jag tar en kopp kaffe, har jag brutit fastan då? Exakt. Och så vidare.
Ja, vi gjorde ju den här lilla
miniserien. Just det, kan du gå in och lyssna på om du är intresserad, som handlar väldigt konkret om hur man fastar, vad man gör under fastan för att orka och hur man bryter fastan.
Mm, det var i slutet av augusti som vi kom med de tre delarna.
Ja, vad hette den igen? Hur döpte vi den?
Mikrofasta.
Mikrofastan. Ja. Där finns massa bra fastetekniker i den. Vi säger väl, var rädd om dig.
Ta hand om dig. Vi ses snart igen.
Hej då.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.